There you go. All right. What are we going to sing first? Sunshine in the Soul. That's number 34 in the room. And then 46 is He Hideth My Soul. This is the next one.
Warm in here, it's just me.
There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than flows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my light. Oh, blessed sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Jesus shows a smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King, and Jesus listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows a smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is springtime in my soul today, for when the Lord is near, the dove of peace sings in my heart, the flowers of grace appear. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows a smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and peace and love. For blessings which He gives me now, for joys laid up above. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments grow. When Jesus shows a smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul.
Number 46, He Hideth My Soul.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows the dry, thirsty land. He hides my life in the depth of His love and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall thirsty land. He hides my life in the depth of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand.
I look out the window and I think the drill got himself stuck in the wire. He can't get out. Okay, hold on a minute, folks. We're checking on something here. We found a baby bunny the other day. Yesterday, as a matter of fact. The day before. In the field next to our house. I guess one of the dogs or a coyote or something broke his leg. So we built a little pen for him. And we put some food in there, and it seems the ground squirrels are interested in the food. And it's chicken wire that we got wrapped around it, so the ground squirrels are a little bit too big for the chicken wire to get through the holes. And they can't get out. They get in somehow, but they can't get out. He's not stuck? Okay. It looked like he was hanging in between. So I had my son go take a look. Because we go out there, and the ground squirrel's running all around inside the pen trying to figure out how to get out. And after about 5-10 minutes, he takes all the seeds out of his mouth, and he gets out. It's like sticking your hand in a jar to try to get a... Like the monkey. What do they do with the monkey that one time where they put a banana in a box... And there's a small hole for the monkey to be able to stick his hand through the hole to get the banana. But he won't let go of the banana. So he can't get his hand out of the box. He's trapped. You know? Well, the same thing with the gerbils, or the ground squirrels. We call them gerbils. And he can get in, kind of, it's hard for him to get in, but once he fills his cheeks up with all those seeds and stuff, his face is too big. It won't go through the hole anymore. So about 5 or 10 minutes later, he figures out and he starts... throwing all the seeds out of his mouth, and he gets out the hole. So, anyway, if you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing our souls. We thank you for Christ, our righteousness. Thank you for teaching us it is nothing that we can do. We are nothing but filthy rags. We thank you for having such mercy on us. You love us so much, but we deserve hell. Thank you for your son. Thank you for what he did for us on Calvary. Thank you for the truth that he shares, the word that is written, and the help that he gives us in our lives. Thank you for loving us so much and keeping your hedge of angels around us. Especially now in these trying times, we know that it's a little difficult to live in these days, but you kind of get used to it living in the day. We know we could have been born 1,000 years ago, but you chose us to live now. So we pray, Father, that you bless us with the faith that we need so that we can gain the latter rain more abundantly. Grant us the trials and tribulations that will change our characters to be more like Christ. Thank you for telling us in your scriptures that we can be perfect, because your own Son said that with his own lips. So teach us, Father, so that we can walk on water to glorify you. We can raise the dead so that you are glorified. And the sick are healed so that they see your hand move. Thank you for the precious truths that we have in Scripture and in the spirit of prophecy. And thank you for granting us divine understanding and wisdom to be able to take these precious truths and work them into our lives and use them and grow by them. We pray that you cut the hearts that are about to hear the truth that you've shared today, bridle my tongue and touch my lips with the coals from the altar, so that your truth comes forth and yours alone. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I was reading the other day in the Spirit of Prophecy, and I just wanted to share something that I ran across in Counsels on Sabbath Schoolwork, page 40. It says, every child may gain knowledge, as Jesus did, from the works of nature and the pages of God's holy word, as we try to become acquainted with our Heavenly Father through his holy word. Angels will come near, our minds will be strengthened, our character will be elevated and refined, and we shall become more like our Savior And as we behold the beauty and grandeur of the works of nature, our affections go out after God. You know, I got to stop here for a second. I mean, that's what got me interested in God as a child when I used to walk around in the prairies. Now, I know I've mentioned this probably 100 times on a pulpit, that when I was 8 years old, I used to walk around in the prairies and I used to talk to God. But the reason I bring it up a lot is because it was a milestone for me. It's something I can't forget. At an early age, I was introduced to him. I can remember walking around and looking at, like, for example, and this has happened, like you'd be out in the prairie and you sit down and butterflies will land on you if you don't move. And you're looking at it and you're thinking, there has to be a God. How? Look at the colors in the wings. There's evidence of a designer. Look at the trees. Look at the flowers, the way they look. There's absolute evidence of a designer. Even the frogs or the snakes that I used to find underneath the boards in the prairies. So that's the main reason I used to go in the prairies, look for them snakes. But then I'm out there by myself, and so I would pray. I would talk to the Lord a lot. And that's what got me interested at an early age, was his nature, the way he created things. It was just so beautiful. And to this day, I still do that. I'll go out into the, like for the midday prayer, I like to go out into the field or in the forest or by the creek or whatever. Just get out into nature. And I can remember when I used to live up near the Chicago area, and I bring home snakes. I did that this morning, too. I went out for a prayer this morning, and there's this one area by the edge of our land where I cut the grass and stuff where it gets kind of long. And there's a section where it's this concrete slab, and underneath the slab there must be a hole because there's fox snakes, there's garter snakes. I mean, there's all these snakes. They're always, and they got snake skin all over the place because they're shedding and doing stuff over there. And every now and then I'll get, you know, there's a couple of four-footers out here, these big ones. I'll bring in the house and, you know, and then I'll let them, I release them. And just I do it to scare Fran sometimes. But this morning I found a baby snake, and I was playing around with that for a while, a little baby garter snake. It's so cute. I mean, they try to bite you, but their mouth just can't open wide enough, you know. They just can't do it. They're too tiny. And after you get them in your hand, in like about 30 seconds, they calm down, and then they wrap themselves around your finger because snakes are cold-blooded, and you're warm-blooded. And the reason he was outside is he was basking. He was looking for warmth. And now all of a sudden, I used to do this when I was a teenager or and a young kid walking in the prairies. I'd find homeless snakes. You know where I would keep them until I got home? Inside my shirt. My shirt would be tucked in, and they'd be in my shirt, four or five of them. When I get home, I'd take them out. They loved it because, you know, resting up against my skin. They won't bite you. Once you've messed around with them for like 30 seconds to a minute, they give up trying. I don't know why. And I'm not talking about poisonous snakes. We don't have them out here. Although you'd think that fox snakes is a rattler because they act like a rattler. They look like a rattler. They got the diamond, and they even make a noise. They got a little rattle. And the first time I saw one of those when I was 12, me and my brothers, we caught it and brought it to the police station. They thought it was a rattler. Then they found out it was a fox snake. And so they gave it back to us. But the nature is just, that's what got me interested in God as a early age. Continuing, she goes on to say, let me back up a little bit. She just, it says, and as we behold the beauty and grandeur of the works of nature, our affections go out after God. While the heart is awed and the spirit subdued, the soul is invigorated by coming in contact with the powers, on contact with the infinite through his marvelous work. I'm sorry, I skipped a sentence there. By coming in contact with the infinite through his marvelous works, communion with God through humble prayer develops and strengthens the mental and moral faculties, and spiritual powers increase by cultivating thoughts upon spiritual things. Those who consecrate soul, body, and spirit to God, purifying their thoughts by obedience to the law of God, will continually receive a new endowment of physical and mental power. And you can actually see that. Many of us know about this, especially if you had all sorts of sin that you were getting into before you were a Christian, and your mind gets all messed up, and you got all this fogginess of the brain, I like to call it. And after being a Christian a few years, you'll notice a difference in the way you think, and you can think quicker. Things happen. You are blessed. The Lord will bless you. Continuing, it says, there will be heart yearnings after God and earnest prayer for clear perception to discern the office and the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, as a young Christian, and even unto this day, I can attest to this truth. I believe this is one of the reasons God will bless his people. He knows your heart. If you truly and honestly go into the scriptures, not to seek ways to prevent from burning in hellfire, but to seek ways to please him and to do as you were created by him to do. I mean, even a garter snake can do that. The problem with the human mind is they have a tendency to go in their own direction, their own will. But the animals, they have that instinct. They are given instructions by their creator, and they do as they're created. And we have to get to a point where we will walk in that way, where we will do only as he instructs us. And life will be perfect, absolutely perfect. Finishing up what she says here, it says, it is not for us to use it, but for the Holy Spirit to use us. Molding, fashioning every power. In other words, it's not, I mean, total surrender means just that. Total surrender. Like, would you be a Christian on the moon where no one can see you? Or in a strange town? Total surrender. Would you be a Christian all by yourself? You know? So many, you know, like, for example, mom and dad leave for the day. The kids go nuts in the house, do something crazy. Or the kids leave for the day, and mom takes them or dad takes them, and one of the parent left behind goes nuts, you know, starts to, you know. Or do they? Can we stand with Christ in a crowd as much as we can alone? Can we stand with Christ on Sabbath as much as on Tuesday? See, a lot of people have that problem too, or they choose to be a Christian one day a week. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The wonderful thing about drawing nigh to the Lord, he really does draw nigh to you. Like I was saying earlier about the way it changes you, your mind, your thinking and all that. I remember when I first, I had the website up for a couple of years already, and somebody approached me and told me to go into a thing called Fire Talk. And I had no clue. I'd never heard of it. What is Fire Talk? Am I going to go to some website that has a picture of the president sitting next to some fireplace, and he's going to talk to me about politics? That's what I thought he was talking about. I says, you got to go hear what this guy has to say. Well, this is more or less. I had no idea what Fire Talk was. I went to it, and I go in, and I go, you're kidding me. These people are talking on the internet, and other people are listening to them? Now, before I started and opened up my own little room called Is the Pope Anti... Or no, I think I said the Pope is Antichrist or something like that, you know? Before I opened up a room of my own, I was talking like this on a regular basis. I would slow down my speech a lot because sometimes a word would come to mind, and then another word would come before I could finish thinking of the previous word, and then that word would mix with the other word, and you'd have the beginning of one word and the end of another word, and it, oh, so I had to slow my speech down considerably. And I was having foggy brain and all this other weird stuff, and I had just started getting into the health message, so I was still dealing with some of the toxins that I had been eating as food. And then all of a sudden I went and I prayed a prayer and I before I went into the room, because I thought, this is great. I can get in here and I can talk to people about what I've seen over the years, what I've got on the website about the Antichrist. And all of a sudden I was flying like 80 words a second or something. I was going way too fast. I was healed that minute. I've never seen that happen before. And I thought that was great. And then the people had to actually get to a point to ask me to slow down because they couldn't understand me. Because I was going too fast. I believe I've slowed down considerably. I've learned to slow down. But still, sometimes I get excited and I'll get off and I'll speed. And I apologize for that. But it just comes from the days when I used to do the street preaching, especially in the Chicago area. Everybody in the Chicago area talks real fast. And if you're doing street preaching, if you can't get out a whole mess of information in 10 seconds, they're going to turn around and walk away bored with you, you know? So you got to get it out there. And I thought it's the same thing on the internet. I didn't realize people were just kicking back, sitting in their living room. But what probably got me to speed up was because people were coming in the rooms and then leaving. And I'm thinking, oh, I want to stop them from leaving. Get as much information in as I can before that person leaves. not realizing they couldn't get but every other word. So, praise the Lord, he slowed me down to some extent. But I have been healed. I praise the Lord mainly for that, because I had a real hard time speaking before that. You know, at least in a public realm, you know, around the house, for some reason I didn't seem to have much of a problem, but when I would speak about the message, I was going too fast in my mind. My mind was going too fast for my mouth, I think, is what was, either that or vice versa. My mouth was going too fast for my mind, maybe. I don't know. Something was up. But I needed a healing, and the Lord blessed me. All right, the next, I found this other, as I was going through Sister White's writings, is from Desire of Ages. It says, the servants of Christ were to prepare, this is Desire of Ages, page 355. It says, the servants of Christ were to prepare no set speech to present when brought to trial. And this is more or less the bulk of this this message. To get to a position that you're walking with Christ and get to a position that you are trusting them to such an extent that one day you will be used by Christ to proclaim his truth. I don't care if you're a wallflower or not, you will have that ability one day. The Lord will call you to do it. All right, continuing. She goes, their preparation was to be made day by day in treasuring up the precious truths of God's word. In other words, getting your scriptures. And through prayer, strengthen their faith. I suggest three prayers minimum a day, along with the pray without ceasing thing. You're constantly talking to them, keeping them in your day all day long. That keeps you from sinning, keeps you from thinking on evil things. Further, she says that when they were brought into trial, the Holy Spirit would bring to their remembrance the very truth that would be needed. For example, how are you going to have those truths if you never, you know, study the scriptures in the first place? I mean, doesn't 2 Timothy 2:15 say, study to show thyself approved of, unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? You'll have to at least gone into the scriptures if John 14:26 is going to come into play, where it says, I'll bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Continuing, a daily earnest striving to know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent would bring power and efficiency to the soul. The knowledge obtained by diligent searching of the scriptures would be flashed into the memory at the right time. I've also seen it taken away, too, at the right time. Because there's times you know a verse and for some reason you just can't get it out when you're trying to talk to somebody. Perhaps they don't, but the Lord doesn't want them to hear that verse because they'll take it out of context in their own mind and make a decision to step out into further sin. Finishing, it says, but if any had neglected to acquaint themselves with the words of Christ, if they had never tested the power of his grace in trial, let me stop here for a minute. Matthew 13, verses 20 and 21 says, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and with joy received it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Some of Christians give up at the first sign of trouble. This Christianity is too difficult to handle. I can't do it anymore. I'll lose my job, or I'll lose my friends, or my one thing that I like to do in life. You mean if I become a Christian, I have to stop that, or I have to stop this, or that's stony ground. I mean, they're on fire the first time they find out about Christ, but then when all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is starting to train them in the way they should go, leading them to the paths of righteousness, they kind of get off track because of the fact that they can't deal with it. And then when you have a person that's never been tested the power of grace in trial, they have nothing to fall back on. They've never, you know, let me try to put it this way. If you've never had an experience to see the Lord's hand move and answer prayers, it's because you gave up too easy. This is usually what happens to some people that have already stepped out. The reason they have not faith in Christ is because when the hard time came, They couldn't stand firm in Christ. That's the nice thing about being a Christian. We have a case history with Christ. We have a praise list, if you will. We know his hand has moved in the past, and we know it will move in the future. I mean, there's been times that we've had some really, really major attacks individually as well as a family here. And I know many of you online have shared with me some really big attacks, too, in email that you've sent me or even phone calls. So we've all seen the Lord's hand move. And some of us are in major trials and tribulations right now as well. What makes you think he won't get you through this one? The fact of the matter is, he got you through the previous ones. There's many a times that I've known that I've felt like that's it. I've had it. There's no way out of this problem. And that was 20 years ago. And here I'm alive and breathing, and I have a roof over my head. Because we used to get evicted on a daily, well, on an annual basis. Our lights were on and off all the time. Never had two nickels rubbed together. Never any food in the fridge. And always thought, that's it, last meal. We'll be pushing up daisies in a week or two. But here it's been 20 years. 30 years, 40, I'll be 50 in a few, couple of weeks. Half a century. It's amazing. When I used to think when I was younger, I wouldn't see 30 just from the things that we used to do. But everybody says that when they're young. They think it's cool. Yeah, I'll never see 30. Some of them don't. Because I had a lot of friends that didn't see 30. But let me just continue on here. We're finishing up this one from Desire of Ages, page 355. And let me back up a little bit. It says, if they had never tasted or never tested the power of his grace in trial, they could not expect the Holy Spirit would bring his words to their remembrance. They were to serve God daily with undivided attention, affection, and then trust him. You know, the thing here is a lot of people have a tendency to trust their pastors over God or a Christian friend that they have. You know, instead of looking to the Word of God, they look to the brain of man. For example, I brought this up before where, and I've seen this happen many times, like I used to do that in my early days as a Christian too, whenever I got stuck on Scripture or I got stuck on a, like, is this okay to do, or is that okay to do, or is this not good, or that? Well, open the Bible and dig in there. And sometimes I was too lazy. I'd call a friend and ask them, is this okay, or is that okay? And sometimes, because they're having a problem in that area, it became okay. They would figure out ways around it and make it look like it's okay, using their own opinions, their own theology, instead of giving me scriptures to verify. Or you can even go to the other extreme, like with Catholics that I've dealt with for so many years. One time I was in my parents' living room, and whenever I was there, they always made it a point to have EWTN on at all times. That's Eternal Word Television Network. It's a Catholic television network up in the Chicago area. It's Channel 51 on cable. And there was this, I'm sitting on the couch talking to my mom. My dad's on the other side of the room. And I'm probably talking to him, too. There was a couple of siblings over, and we're just talking. And they got this Carmelite nun on the screen. A Carmelite nun is where they wear the whole habit. And she was a big woman, and she had on this big brown habit. It's, you know, that dress that they wear, the nuns wear. And she had this crucifix on her chest that was, it was huge. It had to be probably 8 inches long and about 4 inches wide. Real thick pieces of wood, looked like oak, and then there was an ivory carving of Jesus Christ attached to it. All right, it was huge. And all of a sudden she goes into prayer. And as she's praying, they start scrolling up this prayer on the right side of the screen, so you can see the words that she's praying, right? And I'm talking to my mom, and I'm talking to my dad, and just out of the corner of my ear, literally, I hear her say that Mary is the bright and morning star. And I go, what did she say? And I look at the screen, and sure enough, as it's scrolling up, it says, Mary is the bright and morning star. I got up, I bolted across the room, I went over to my dad's Bible, a Dewey Rains Roman Catholic Bible, picked it up, went to Revelation 22:16, where it says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And pointed at the verse. He wouldn't look at it. And I asked him why, and he says, the prelates of Rome, the leaders of our church, must have changed it for a reason. They're putting, this is where they're putting faith in man. They're trusting or worshiping the creature over the creator. And a lot of us do that without knowing it sometimes. We're putting the opinions of a pastor above the scriptures, and that's dangerous. Like I always tell anybody that asks me questions, look, double verify what I'm saying with, you know, be a Berean. Go into the scriptures. Many GC people do this. Seventh-day Adventists. They only hear what a GC preacher has to say instead of looking into the Word. Like, for example, that one GC preacher that's attacking this ministry. And this seems to work well, because what they'll do is they'll take Sister White out of context to say that she said that you should never leave the Seventh-day Adventist churches, right? And so what seemed to work was, although it did get them angry, and so sometimes it's going to get them angry, but sometimes it will make them think. It depends on the spirit you're dealing with. If this is a genuine teachable spirit, do they trust in the Word of God, or do they trust in the Word of man? So I asked him, we both understand Ellen White is a prophet, correct? He says, correct. Okay, so Ellen White is not going to contradict the Word of God, correct? He goes, correct. Okay, let's do this for a moment. Let's pretend for a moment Ellen White was never sent. There is no end-time prophet for this age. Even though there's a prophet for every age, there is none for this one. Let's just say we don't need it. We've got the Bible. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Do you agree with your GC preachers and your leaders of what they're doing? No, I don't. How come you're walking with them? 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Do you not acknowledge that they're doing evil things? Yes, I do. Then what are you doing there? Or 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. You know they're unclean. You know the Seventh-day Adventist Church is keeping Sunday holy now. They're doing Christmas. They're doing Easter. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. How can you be peculiar when you're doing like the rest of the world does? You can't. And we all know what Revelation 18, verses 4 and 5 says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be but not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached high unto heaven, or have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. We need to be trained in the Word, because it says they would deliver you up to councils. Yea, and before governors and kings shall be brought for my sake, for a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. You have to be able to use the Bible, because they're going to take Sister White out of context. You have to understand the basic truths. Persecution is going to spread the light. The servants of Christ will be brought before the great men of the world who but for this might never have heard the gospel, Sister White says in, where am I getting this from? Desire of Ages, 354. Did you hear that? She says, the servants of Christ will be brought before the great men of the world who but for this might never hear the gospel. There are politicians or kings or queens or whatever out there that are never going to hear the word of God until your trial comes, until your testimony to stand before the judge is put forth. And again, I don't care if you're a wallflower. You're going to do it that day. You're going to be given the power from on high. Those words that you have studied over the years are going to come through your lips, as John 14:26 said they would. You're being tested and tried for what you're going through right now for a reason. There's going to be a day you're going to stand there. And everything that you're seeing, you're going through. Whether you use it when you're approached by a GC person or a Catholic person or a Baptist or even a fellow brother in Christ that's backsliding a little bit or the magistrates or a judge and jury. Some of us are studying God's Word right now so God can use us when we stand before the powers that be. You may never become a pastor. You may never become a preacher. But one day you may be standing before cameras and your testimony is put forth globally. You don't think that's possible? You don't think your 5-minute testimony could affect people from all walks of life? Then you explain to me why the thief on the cross was able to affect billions. The thief on the cross had, how long was his ministry? If you can call it that. He found out who that man was hanging next to him. Then he asked him for forgiveness. And from that day forward, that thief on the cross, his words were put into the scriptures. Literally. So you never know what you're going through right now. You never know where it's going to be to affect a loved one that's trapped in the GC or a loved one that's nowhere even near the GC. The General Conference, for those of you that don't know what the GC is, the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventist Churches. They have become a sister to fall in Babylon. Continuing, Sister White goes on to say in Desire of Ages that the truth has been misrepresented to these men. The men that you're going to stand in front of is what she's talking about. You know, like the judges and the juries or whatever. The truth has been misrepresented. They may never have even read a Bible. They have listened to false charges concerning the faith of Christ's disciples. Often their only means of learning its real character is the testimony of those who are brought to trial for their faith. So like I've always said, you might be the only Bible some people read. Under examination, these are required to answer, and their judges to listen to the testimony borne, because it's law. Whether they like it or not, the testimony is going to be put forth. Whether they liked it or not, Stephen proclaimed all sorts of prophetic truths and, you know, even stuff from the from history of Christ before the Pharisees and the Sadducees, before they bit on him and then stoned him to death. Whether they liked it or not, he spoke, and those truths were brought forth. So whether these judges and juries, whether they're Catholic prelates, you could be in front of the Pope. You are going to have an opportunity to speak. Because our God in heaven will make sure of that. You are being tested and tried for a reason. God's grace will be dispensed to his servants to meet the emergency. It shall be given you, says Jesus, in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of the Father which speaketh in you. So when you're in that prison cell and you're trying to figure out all these verses in your mind and try to figure out what you're going to say, have you ever taken a test in a school and it's best not to think of it before the day you take the test? Just give up. Just, I'm not saying that's what works in a test. The Holy Spirit's not going to, you know. I'm just saying, you know, there's no sense. Why bother? You've already read the scriptures. You know what's there. You trust it. You believe it. And you understand there is a Holy Spirit. You've seen him. By this time, you probably have seen him heal people. You've seen him raise the dead. You may have even walked on water by this time. You may have walked on air. Who knows? You may have transported from one area to the next instantaneously. You may have seen his hand move in a mighty way. So I don't think you're going to have a problem worrying about him giving you a few words before the magistrates on this day anyway. But what my point is, you're being tried right now to see whether you are going to be worthy to stand there. The Lord needs people like you. As the Spirit of God illuminates the minds of his servants, the truth will be presented in its divine power and preciousness. Those who reject the truth will stand to accuse and oppress his, you know, the disciples. And this we see, that GC preacher that's been attacking my ministry, I'm not going to give any names, but he did share an untruth, let's just put it that way, about what I was doing on the SDA apostasy website. It was put forth to the ISPs, the one in Australia, as well as the one out here in Indiana, that I was doing copyright infringement. That's what he was saying, and he contacted Adventist Review and all these other Adventist leaders and offices to try to get me either arrested or kicked off the internet because he says my websites were taking stuff out of context, or I was not putting the valid sources. Obviously, they didn't listen to him because they realized when they went to the website to check it out that all the sources are there. So in essence, these attacks have already started. Some aren't as open, out in the open as others. They're doing stuff behind closed doors right now. There's already plans made for us. We know that. We know how the U.S. government works. We know how Rome works. They always do things many, many, many years in advance. Who was it? I think Rick from Florida was telling me that when he was in the Marines or whatever, and they were doing army exercises on how to go from house to house in Iraq in 1985. And they didn't do it until the year 2000, I think, right? Was it 2000, 2001 or 2 or something like that? Oh, no, like 2002. That's right. They did it after the 911 thing. They were making plans back in 85. So does that make you think or make you wonder if those Twin Towers were a manufactured fall down, other than all the evidence around them? Continuing, it goes on to say, but under loss and suffering, even unto death, the Lord's children are to reveal the meekness of their divine example. And who's our divine example? She's using a capital E here. It's Christ. Thus will be seen the contrast between Satan's agents and the representatives of Christ. Like when they attack you or me or anybody, they'll use name-calling. They'll use lies. They'll use force because they don't have scriptures to back them up. What will we use? Loving words of warning from scripture. Have I become thine enemy because I tell you the truth? Is what's going to happen. And that is, by the way, that attack that I got from the GC preacher is an exact duplicate of what I see from the Catholic preachers. They know they can't use a Bible to prove what we preach to be error, and so they use force instead. Pray for him. I'm not going to give his name. Some of you know who I'm talking about, but just pray for him, because he may be used in a mighty way by God, but he may also be used in a mighty way by Satan to attack the children of God. He may be in training right now for that. For either way, we don't know. I hope and pray that he's in training to glorify the Lord rather than glorify Satan. Again, all your studies may be used to glorify Christ one day before the kings and queens of this world. You don't know. You know, you might just be some lowly person from some little tiny rural area in the midst of Missouri. Who knows? And all of a sudden you're standing before a king. And he's never heard the words that you're going to proclaim. And it affects him in a mighty way. We don't know the end result of some of these things, of how it's going to go. And, you know, like we know what the end result is when Christ splits the eastern sky, of course. We know about the plagues and whatnot. But, you know, will the king all of a sudden get off his throne and stand beside you? Who knows? We don't know what's going to happen. You hear about that in Fox's Book of Martyrs about people in high positions of authority stepping into the flames themselves. How about the one soldier that was told to sit by a nice roaring fire and put all these Christians out on the middle of a frozen lake naked? The whole family of them. Or a church family of them. And all they kept doing was singing a song over and over again. A hymn. As they were dying in the elements. It was a real cold night. It was a frozen lake and they're out there without any clothing. Or very little clothing. They didn't have winter clothing on. And then all of a sudden, one of them breaks from the crowd because he sees the roaring fire and how inviting it is to get warmed up by it where the soldier is sitting, guarding the fire. He comes up to warm himself by the fire. The soldier gets up, takes off his winter clothing, and he goes to the crowd and he kneels down with them and dies with them. You hear about that all the time, stuff like that, in Uri Fox's Book of Martyrs. I don't know if that one's actually from that book, but, So do you fear? You may not have the courage before you... because you don't have it now? This last quote from Ellen White, Desire of Ages. She gives an awful lot of scripture in here, so it's nice, too, on top. It's a double blessing. The disciples were not endowed with the courage and fortitude of the martyrs until such grace was needed. Did you get that? The disciples were not endowed with courage and fortitude of the martyrs until such grace was needed. Desire of Ages, 354, page, 354, paragraph 3. Continuing, it goes, then the Savior's promise was fulfilled. When Peter and John testified before the Sanhedrin council, men marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Acts 4, verse 13. Of Stephen, it is written, that all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as if it had been a face of an angel. Men were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit which he spake. Acts 6, verse 15. And Paul, writing of his own trial at the court of the Caesar, says, at my first defense, no one took my part, but all forsook me. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, and through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And we saw what Daniel did. We saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We saw Daniel twice, as a matter of fact. And we get, you got what happened in the book of Esther. I mean, it is written in Esther, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this, in Esther 4:14. No matter how shy you are right now, one day you're going to speak out. It reminds me of the first time that I preached, how scared I was, but I spoke out. The Holy Spirit took over when I was on the pulpit. Or the first time that some siblings approached me on Easter Sunday. You remember, Fran, you were coming down the stairs, we were going out, getting ready to go to church. We were still Sunday keepers back then, but I didn't want anything to do with the bunny or the eggs, because I got into exposing Antichrist, and I knew what the bunny and the eggs meant. I just still didn't realize what the Easter thing was all about. You know, but the Lord was working with what I had, you know. And I ran with what I had. And that's all you can ever do. You know, you're only going to be judged by the light you're given anyway, so run with the light you got. And as I'm getting ready to leave, one of my siblings comes out and says, we got something for you. Could you come on in here for a minute? Because my parents lived underneath us. We lived in a two-floor walk-up or something, like a duplex. And I walk in, and my sister Nina had all these Easter bonnets and Easter baskets with the candy and all this stuff in them for my daughters and a couple of the boys. No bonnets for the boys, of course. But I said, oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate the loving kindness and the thought from your heart. But, Nina, I can't accept it. She goes, why not? And so I started explaining. I says, the Easter bunny is the symbol of fertility. The egg is, of course, the symbol of, actually, the bunny is the symbol of sex. The fertility is the egg itself. And it's a pagan. I couldn't even get anywhere halfway through the sentence when she just lashed out and says, oh, you don't want to give anything to your children. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit took over, and I was preaching for like 3 straight minutes. And it just boldly came out, because I was afraid to kind of do that in a setting with my siblings and that, because of how everybody's kind of headstrong. But I noticed as I was doing it, they were all just sitting down. Some of them, their mouths were hanging open, but they were all just sitting down. And it just came out for like 3 straight minutes, everything that was wrong with Easter. And that's when I really started investigating Easter. And then, Fran, you were coming down the stairs, and you felt like you were going to go in there, right, or something? Is that what you said? And but you were going to go in there and stop me because I was loud. But then you said something to the effect that the Spirit told you to let him go, let him speak. And then it reminded me of Dave, too. Dave and a friend of mine from Oak Forest, where he got me into a room with... and now this is for the shy people, of course, because this will happen when you get before the kings and the queens. This, and I'll finish with this. This friend of mine knew that I didn't much care for the truth being manipulated by his Lutheran pastor. And every time my friend would call me on the phone, or I'd meet him at work or whatever like that, and he would ask me these questions, and I would give him scriptures to answer them. And it was convicting him. And he would go to his Lutheran pastor, and his pastor would manipulate maybe 3 out of the 10 verses, you know, manipulate them or twist them or whatever. And this went on for a couple of years, and then this, after all the Bible studies that him and I were having, he finally decided he better get married to the woman he's living with because he was feeling guilty. And so he finally got married to her, and I was the best man, and his Lutheran pastor was going to do the marriage. And he asked, and I told him, I says, Dave, just do me a favor. Don't let me be in the same room with the man. Alone. I didn't tell him that I was fearful. I was, because this guy was a pastor, a Lutheran pastor, and I was scared. I didn't know what would happen. But then I saw it happen. He worked it out because Dave loved confrontation. He made sure somehow that I was in a room alone with this man, and all of a sudden it happened again, like it happened at my parents' house. 3 minutes, boom, was just coming out. And then the guy just left. Didn't even finish the reception or nothing. He was gone. And that's when Dave decided to leave, when he saw that happen. That's around the time that he left the Lutheran church, when he saw how the man couldn't react to plain scripture. So don't worry about it. John 14:26, you are being tested and tried for a reason, and when it happens, he'll bring all things to remembrance whatsoever you've said unto you. You're going through the trials and tribulations right now because you need to. there's something the Lord needs for you to learn through these so that when the day comes, you'll be able to stand firm in Christ without shaking at all. You have absolute, undeniable faith. What are we going to sing? All it is well with my soul. Do we have that in the room? I don't know if we have that in the room. What number is it? Is it in there? It is well with my soul. 321? Oh, we do. Oh, good. I like this song. It goes well with the sermon. So.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
I took a look out the window, that little ground squirrel's back in the cage, and now he's got to have two briefcases full of, his face is huge. He's got all sorts of packed in there with seeds. He's not getting out. He's going to have to get rid of all the seeds again. All right, if you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with understanding. Strengthen our faith, Father, for the days ahead. We see the signs all around us, everything from the weather to the earthquakes to the little strange laws that are being passed. We know that it's going to speed up even quicker now because your prophet in the end, as well as your scriptures, confirm these things are going to happen. And they're going to get a little bit more intense in the days ahead. So we pray, Father, and we thank you for the trials and tribulations that help us to get ready. Reveal it to our hearts, Father, that we have to do all that you would require us to do, especially in the way of your law, especially now that it's legal to do, because when it becomes illegal to do, we're not going to be able to do it at all. We can't handle doing it now when it's legal, and we can get, you know, ways, other jobs or whatever, because some of us are being attacked in our employment when it comes to Sabbath. And Father, give us the strength to stand firm in Christ, and thank you for letting us see your hand move on this, because we trust you, Lord, and we know that you are there for us. You always fight for your children. You always take care of us. Thank you for blessing the remainder of this Sabbath day. Thank you for blessing the week ahead of us and giving us all that we need so that we can be ready for the latter rain when it falls more abundantly, so that we can go forth and proclaim you, Lord, and help bring as many people home to Christ as possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.